Darn, it's cold. Okay. Let's get started. Ayin Chesem HaBeis. One of my listeners commented to me recently, you know, I'm sitting here in sunny wherever, and I hear that it's snowy and cold and rainy. Well, it's one of those dark mornings here, but we're going to light it up in the Beis Medrash. Okay. Reb Shimon Cholik Bein Chasim. We're on, I'm sorry, we did that. Third to last line. Ayin Chesem HaBeis. Third to last line, second off in Parak Ha'isha Shenaflu, eighth Parak in Maseches Ksubis. Here we go. So we are talking, if you remember, this parak is about nechassim that the woman has and the rights that the husband has in those nechassim. So now we have a case where a woman, an almana, is going to get married. She has a daughter, and she wants to prevent her new husbands from taking her nechassim. So she is going to write a quote-unquote shtar matana, in quotes, to her daughter in order to prevent the husband from getting her nechassim, but she doesn't really mean her shtar. Hahi itza debaya de tevrachin hula nichsa migavra. There was a woman that wanted to be mavriach, wanted to literally cause to run away, cause the nechassim, her nechassim to go away from her future husband. So kasvatinu labarta, she wrote the nechassim to her daughter, shtar matana. But it was obvious, why would somebody, right before they get married, write all of their nechassim to somebody else? Obviously, she's just doing that to prevent the future husband from getting it. So, in Siva, she got married, v'igrisha, and then she got divorced. Asa l'kamei d'Rav Nachman, meaning, and now her daughter wants to keep the nechassim. So, asa l'kamei d'Rav Nachman, kari Rav Nachman l'shtara. Rav Nachman ripped up the shtar. Rav the shtar, Rashi says on top, right, when the Rav Nachman ripped up the shtar, because, you know, she, this had no effect. And she wanted to get rid of. He wanted to show that the shtar was not powerful at all. The Ritva says, has an important line. He says, whenever a dayan wants to not use a shtar, to call shtar hayotzi lebezdin she'ena roy lasos bo maisa yeshlo ledayan lekaro. Shouldn't leave it around. Shouldn't leave shtars that are not going to be used around. And therefore, the Ritva says he ripped it up. Okay, we'll get back to another point in a minute. So what exactly is the case? So there is a Rashi, second to last line on Ayin Chesem HaBeis. Rashi says, all the Rishonim discussed this Rashi. Vahod, what happened? She wrote the Shtar Matana, and then when she gave it, or before she gave it, Vahodia le'edim she'ein matana zu matana. Rashi says she went over to Edim and told the Edim, this Shtar is meaningless. It's not a good Shtar. It's similar to what we had back in the second parak, all the different Shtaras. Remember, Yutes, we have what was called a shtar amana, we had shtar pasim, all those types of shtaras, but we also had moda'a. A shtar moda'a hayudvarenu, moda'a means that after a person is being forced to do something, he goes over to witnesses before and they say, I don't really mean what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm being forced to sell. I'm being forced to do something. So this reminds us of that. So Rashi says, you know, she went over to witnesses before and it says, Ein matana zu matana. And all the Rishonim ask on Rashi that this is very difficult because we're going to have in the coming lines different distinctions between whether the shtar is effective or not. According to Rashi, there should be no distinctions. Of course it should not be effective. If she tells witnesses beferish that it doesn't, it's a lie, of course the witnesses should be believed. Tosfos asks, first kasha, Tosfos on the bottom. V'nirul Rabbeinu Yitzchak, after quoting Rashi. Dim kleina, my pligi, Rabbanan Barava, Adrav Nachman, Pshitilo Kansa. We're going to have in a minute the machlokas amarayim. Some are going to say, how do you rip up the star? It should be a good star. What do you mean? How could it be happening for it to be a good star? Of course it's not going to be a good star. Right? He told witnesses. She told witnesses beforehand. Kasha 1, if you look in the Rush and Simon Bays asks three questions on Rashi. Veloni Hiroli, after quoting Rashi, that he is beferish that she told witnesses. The Imkain, Afilo Miksasanami. We're going to have a chilek in a few lines. There's a difference whether she gave all of her nechassim or some of her nechassim. As we know, if she, all of her nechassim, we assume, okay, that's obviously a fake. Why are you only giving part of her nechassim? That must be the truth. So again, if you said to witnesses beforehand, of course, even part of the nechassim should be a lie. If she told witnesses beferish, the ode says the Rosh Diika Edim. If she told witnesses, Amai by Rabba Leploni be Bartel Achrini. We're going Lefluge be Bartel Achrini. We're going to have another distinction in a couple of lines that there's a difference between the daughter and other people. Depends who you gave it to. Again, ask the Rosh. Why should there be any distinctions? If she told witnesses, this is a fake. So then nothing should be good. And he has other questions as well. So therefore, Tosfos and the Rush and most other Rishonim say against Rashi. Some even say maybe it's a different wrong girsa. Maybe it should be Veloho Dia La'edim. Okay. But either way, this is the girsa that we have. But most Rishonim say, let's go back to Tosfos. V'nirul Rabbeinu Yitzchak, Tosfos says, Delam Remidi. She did not say a word. But this is what's called a gilui milsa. El gilui milsa ba'al ma'ika. There's a gilui milsa. It sounds like this is something that we look at the case and we assume this is what she wants. And this is not what we sometimes call dvarim shebelev, meaning something in my heart which has no halachic significance. This is not in that category. Because here it's obvious. Why would a woman, right before she gets married, try to give away all of her nechasim? Obviously she'd want to keep it for herself. But if she didn't, it must be that it is, she is not saying it, she's not doing it with seriousness. Kidda amrina besamach. That is Tosfos, that is the Rosh. The Rosh also has an even more explicit lashon. To lo shavik inish nafsha, v'yav kol mai de'isla lacherim. Person doesn't give away all of their stuff. Stam. Without a good reason. Midi dahavi, similar to, says the Rosh, shchiv mira. A shchiv mira, somebody on their deathbed. Shekasav kol nechasav la'acher. But if somebody on their deathbed gives all the nechasim to somebody else, im amar choser, if they then get healthy and they get out of their illness, it goes back. They didn't specify. No, so what? That's a gili milsa. V'chinim nises miyad. Also, she gets married right after she gives away the nechasim. We say, yisunum dunah, that she didn't want her nechasim to go to her husband. Related to this, you see in the brackets, in the parentheses in Tosfos, ayin Tosfos l'kaman tzadik zayinam ad alef. Tosfos later, and also Tosfos in Kedushin daf mem tes, has the following yesod, that there are really three categories regarding dvarim shebelev. If you look at Tosfos here, it's easier because you have the mesechta. If you look at tzadik zayinam ad alef, Tosfos says, on the bottom, the Tosfos Yibra Maschel Zavin, on tzadik zayinam ad alef, Tosfos says that there are three categories of types of cases where gilui milsa should be involved. Tosfos says at the beginning of Tosfos, ukegon shegila daito b'shas hamecher. There are some times that it's not so obvious. Or you know what? Let's not do the first case, because let's do the extreme cases first. There are some cases that even if you are megale da'as, you know, it's not going to help unless you make a specific tanai. Let's say you're selling something. You sell something and you say, you know, I really hope it rains tomorrow. You know, as you're selling it. But you didn't say, I'll sell it to you on condition that it rains. So then that gilui milsa is not going to help. You know, okay, you're very happy. You're happy that it rains. But there's no reason for us to believe that you want it to rain and you make this conditional. So there, gilui milsa is not good enough. That's in one extreme. Even if you're megalados, it's not good enough unless you make it tonight. On the other extreme, you have cases like our case that we assume, even if you're not megalados, but because of the actions themselves, we assume this is what you want. Tosa says, let's say somebody sells their house and all their possessions on condition, and they're making aliyah. So they sell everything, and then it falls through. So again, the Gemara says in Maseches Kedushin, the Rosh Hashanah deal with, we assume that you only sold their stuff, you know, on condition. Let's say you give away all of your possessions because you don't think you have a child. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, your long-lost son walks in. Hi, Dad. Wow, I have a son. Amazing. So the Gemara says that the Chasim go back. Why do they go back? Because we assume that he only gave away his stuff because he didn't think he had a son. But if he knew he had a son, so that's a case where you don't even need Gili Das because it's an automatic Gili Das. Those are two extremes. A case where Gili Das doesn't work. A case where you don't even need Gili Das. That's what Tosfos says in the sixth line of that Tosfos. V'yesh v'ram she'ino mo'o b'am Gili Das ha'shiyasne. And then Tosfos continues a few lines later. V'yesh v'ram she'afilu Gili Das ha'in sarach. And then you have the middle case where a Gili Das would help. Sometimes something cases are somewhat obvious, but not totally obvious. And then if you express your das, then we assume that this is what you want. The Tosfos gives examples of that. But those are three types of cases that Tosfos says. Tosfos says it here. Tosfos in Kiddushin says it in the Rashbam. But that's what's alluded to in the parentheses here, Ba'ayin Tosfos L'kamon. So our case is a case where you don't even have to have a Gili Das. Because why would somebody, by Shtar Mavrachas, a Shtar that before you do something, you give away all your possessions. Why would you be giving away all your possessions? It must be that you don't want your husband to get it. Okay, so either way, that is Rashi against most Rishonim. Rashi says, you dafka beferish told Edim. Most Rishonim, the Rosh here, Tosfos here, argues, right? The Tosfos also says here, just to give you the Ritvaz Lashon, de plukta de hacha b'shalo amru le'edim klum. Here is where you didn't say anything to the Edim. V'yafilo hachi kaima de lokani. Still, the star does not work. Ava gad v'rem shev le'edim dvarim. Umdina de muchach shiny. That's how the Ritva categorizes this category of, you know, where you don't even have to do anything. It's an umdana devmuchach, udvarim shebelibo ubelev kal adam, dvarim heim. Things that are in your heart, but it's in everybody's heart. Everybody would know. So that does have the halachic status of dvarim. So that is Rashi versus the other Rishonim. What exactly is the case here? Yeah.
What exactly is the problem? Let's say it was written into the Torah, this is yours as long as I'm married.
This is yours as long as I'm married to this man. So I guess she could do that. I don't know if she wants to say befeirish. But you're right. We're going to see a lashon like that in a little bit in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to have an opinion that you have to write something in, or some type of a lashon that can be interpreted like that, as we'll see.
Why is that good? But if we make the assumption that that's what you're doing, that's
bad. Because again, if we make the assumption, well, the Gemara is going to ask if it's good enough to knock out the daughter from getting it. So why is it good enough in the first place to prevent it from the husband? The Gemara is going to ask that soon. One last source related to this: there's a Tshuvas Harash in Klal Ayin Zayin Shivin Vishmona, where he deals with a case. Where this comes up, Lamaisa, where somebody tried to get out of a loan. Ruvain Hayachayev Milva Alpel Shimon. Ruvain owed money to Shimon. Vinosan Kolashar Lola Levi. Lafkir Chov Mi Shimon. He gave away all of his stuff to somebody else. He didn't want to pay the loan. Did he really mean it? Says the Rosh, Nirali Bazet Azlina Basar Umdra de Muchach. You go and you say it's an Umdra de Muchach that he didn't want to give it all and it's really his. And then the Rosh has a 15-line Musar Shmuz about it's terrible to do such things and you're a chakran and how can you find by a woman who doesn't want to give her possessions to the husband? She has no chov to the husband before she gets married. So in our case, there's nothing wrong with what the woman is doing. She wants to prevent. Okay, it's a little trick, but she's not doing anything wrong, but says the Rosh, Alachas kam v'kama habal ligzol chaveru ba'armaso v'lavar al divrei Torah v'lo lefroa noshav shenevatel armaso v'zei yigvah kovah min amatana. It's terrible. So he says, you shouldn't do this. You know, you can't be ma'arim more than the Chachmei HaTalmud did. So again, this is the Tshuvas Rosh says, Shtar Mavrachas, to use as a legal loophole is inappropriate in terms of loans. But here, there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, back to the Gemara. Right, that what?
She wanted
to be avriach from the husband. She wanted to be avriach from the husband to give to the daughter. But she has no chiyuv to give her to the husband before she gets married. Okay, she's using a little subterfuge, but it's lav dap, she has no chiyuvim yet. So she's trying to give it to her daughter to prevent her from going to the husband. But as we see in the next line, she didn't really want to give it to the daughter. She wants it back. So the game took on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman rips up the shtar. Again, like the Ritva said, why do you rip up the shtar? Because the shtar that is not going to be used, you shouldn't just leave lying around. The Pnei Yeshua also adds that we're worried about Beis Din Tohen. We're worried about another Beis Din finding the shtar and using it. Okay, similar idea, but he just quotes that line that we're worried about Beis Din Tohen. Continues the Gemara. Also, Rav Anan lekamei to Mar Ukva. Rav Anan heard what Rav Nachman did, and he went to Mar Ukva to complain about it. Amalei, Chazimar Nachman chaglo hechi mikra shtar dinshi. Did you see what Nachman, doesn't even call him Rav Nachman, did you see what Nachman chaglo'a? Rashi says chaglo'a means eno baki bedinim. Right, Nachman Chakla, right? Chaklai is like an agriculture, a farmer. Maybe he's calling him like a, right? That's Eno Baki Bedinim. Right? He says, did you see what he did? He ripped up that guy's star. How can he do such a thing? Yeah?
Same Rav Anan,
exactly. Back in the end of the Samach Tes area, so he called Rav Anan, right? Exactly. So same Rav Anan is involved. So says the Rav Anan, going, how do you do that? So Amalei, Emily Iza Gufa Du of the Hechiavi. Tell me exactly what happens. What are all the details? So Amalei, Hachiv Hechiavi. This is the case. Told him the exact case. So Amalei said, what are you getting so upset about? Shtar Mavrachas Kamrit. You're asking me about a Shtar Mavrachas, a Shtar that's used to be Mavriach, to cause the Nechassim to go away from the person that it's supposed to be going to. Hachi Amar Rebbe Chani Loi Bar Idi, Amar Shmuel. Rebbe Chani Loi said in the name of Shmuel, Mora Ora Ani, I am a Mora Hora'a, I am a Posek. I'm allowed to paskin, right? If you're a mohara, you have to paskin, right? The Gemara says, right? It's terrible if you're not in the league of paskining and you paskin, or if you're in the league of paskining and you don't paskin, right? Both of those are negative. So he's mohara horani, and yovo shtar mavrachas liyadi akarenu. I rip up shtaros mavrachas because I know they're not halachically valid. So shtar mavrachas again in cases. This is similar to cases of moda'a. Moda, though, is cases where the person said beferish beforehand that this is not, I don't want this. Mavrachas are cases where it's clear. It's clear to the outsider. It's varm shebelev ubelev kaladam that this is what a person would want. So don't get so upset, Rav Anan, that he ripped up the shtar. I would do it too, because that's what Shmuel holds. Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman. Rav said to Rav Nachman, 1 minute. Time of my deloshavik inish nafshev yav lachrini. Why is it obvious that it is a shtar mavrachas in most cases, because a person doesn't want to give their possessions over to a stranger or to a friend. Hadini lachrini, that only works by friends. Avalabarta yahiva, but here you're giving it to her daughter. So maybe a daughter is different. Maybe by a daughter, even if the motivation might be to get it away from the husband, but maybe she means it here. Maybe she wants to give it to the daughter. So the Gemara says, you're right. A daughter is closer than others. But still, afilo hachi, b'makom barta nafsha adifala. B'makom, there's a other, b'makom and a daughter, she's still better than her daughter. She's still better, chayecha kodmen. She's still better than her daughter, even though the daughter might be better than others. And therefore, in this case, we are allowed to assume that it is a shtar mavrachas. Period. Case meisvei. Unless you're Akasha from the Tosefta, Harotze Shetavriach Nechasem Ibaila, person wants to be Mavriach Nechasem from, a woman wants to be Mavriach Nechasem from her husband. Again, why are we talking a lot about this now? Because the Mishnah that we're talking about is all about the rights of the husband of Nechasem that she got before Erisin, after Erisin, before Nisuin, and that was the whole discussion yesterday. So now we're talking about what if a woman wants to prevent the whole thing, and she wants to get rid of her Nechasem so the husband has no rights. So if she wants to do that, Kesed Yosef, what does she do? What should she do? Koseves shtar pasim la'acherim. Divir Shimon Gamliel. Shimon Gamliel says she should write a shtar pasim. So pasim, again in the second parak, we have where we had the discussion of shtar was pasim and something else. Here pasim means shtar mavrachas. Pasim means, Rashi says, what does pasim mean? Shtar piusim. You're mefayis, you appease someone. She mefayis so lakaba matana zu. You appease someone to accept this matana. Lafkia schus labailo. Not really because they're getting the matana, but to be mafkia the schus. Kodem nisuin. And that the husband shouldn't get it. Pasim, again, earlier meant something else. But here it means a shtar piusim. And the Shidim Kubasas quotes Rashi and just adds, what you already have to appease somebody for. What do you mean piusim? What are you appeasing? So the Shita quotes, people usually don't get involved in doing tirchos where they're not going to get any benefit from it. Why would this guy get involved? Just to save you money? Okay, yeah, you can ride. I can go to Bezdin and have Edom there. It's going to take time and effort to write the shtar and for you to give me a matana. That's not really a matana. Why would I want to get myself involved in this? That's why it's mifayis. That's why it's called shtar pasim, shtar piyusim. Because, ahachi karli shtar piyusim, damar vade lo boi laso for lechroch nafshe, benichse, elen ki mifayis aslof. I'm not going to get anything. What am I doing here? I'm doing you a favor to try to save you nechasim. I'm going to have to pay you a little bit to help me out here. But that's why it's called, says the Shita, a shtar pasim, or Rashi's shtar piyusim. That is the Shita of Shimon ben Gamliel.
Is this before
Erisin? Bechor is before Erisin. After Erisin, if she got the Nechasim after Erisin. If she got the Nechasim before Erisin, so then we said even Beis Shilol agrees that she's allowed to Lechachila. Or that was yesterday's Mishnah. But let's say to keep it simple, everything is before Erisin here. She knows that she's going to get, she was already a Tfiya. There's already a tfiya, and she has agreed to the marriage, but has not been erisin yet. Right, Rashi says, she wants to be mafkia the schus before nisuin. So does that mean everything is before nisuin, or just so it does not work? Right, it's unclear. Okay, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says that just write the shtar mavrachas. V'chachamim omrim, and this is going to be the kasha. Ratzam etzachik, but no, if you only write a shtar and we're basing it on a gili milsa, that's not good enough to say the chachamim. No, etzachik, but the acceptor of the matana can play with you, can laugh at you, and say, I, this is my stuff, what are you talking about? Acha tichtov lo, like Yisrael asked before, no, you have to write something in it. Mehayom ula kisha erza. You don't write it in it, it's a fake shtar, but you write in it from today and when I want. What does that mean? So Rashi explains it's a two-sided thing. From today, it will be hers today if I want, meaning I don't want the husband to get it. And when I want, meaning let's say it comes back to me, let's say I get divorced, so I'm going to want it back, and it's only going to be yours if I want to. So again, it's a lashon that alludes to the fact that it's not a full matan. That's what Rashi says. Mehayom nesun lecha ulukishe erza yesh kan avracha mivayla. Because if she wants to say I want the matana, it works l'mafreya that it goes to the daughter and not to the husband. And if they don't want it, then it's going to go to her. So that's the lashon that has to be used. Taima dekasva lehachi. Right. I'm sorry. And what is this similar to? Just to give you a mashal, the Ran here quotes that it's similar to amanas sheretz, amanas sheyirtza. We had amanas sheyirtza abba. It's like a condition. Amanas that I'm going to want in a month. Amanas kisha erza. Usually you want it or you don't want it. Here's a case where you're not sure. So amanas that you would want it in a month, and the whole thing would be batal mafreya if you change your mind. That's how Rov Rishonim understand this lashon. Yom kisha erza. You know, be batal mafreya if I eventually do not want it.
But that doesn't belong to this guy.
Oh, the Gemara is going to ask that. The Ritva has a Deya, which is rejected, that maybe it's not like everybody else assumes that it's going to be something that's going to be Mavatal El Mafreya. Yesha Pirshu, Mehayom Tehe Matana Gemura, Ukisha Erzelachzar Achzor. Today it'll be a good matana, and I could go back on it in the future. But not that I'm going to be uprooted from Afreya. Right now it's yours. But in the future I could say it's not anymore. In halashon holim kapir zeh. I don't like this. Lashon of the Ritva, I like Rashi. But again, that's another daya that maybe it's just a similar to what we're going to discuss in a minute, a matana lizman. It's like a matana for what I could decide, it's yours, but I could be an Indian giver in a month. I could decide not to. So you could put that, according to that day in the Ritva, you have that halachic mechanism. You could say it's yours, but I could in the future decide, you know, to take it back. But either way, says the Gemara, time of the Kasva Lehachi, the only reason that the Shama Brachas works is if you have this Lashon written in it. Halo Kasva Lehachi, if you didn't write it in it, so Kanina Lokeach, if you didn't write it in it, so you assume the Shtar is serious. So that's a kash and everything we said, because up until now we've said, like Tosin said before, Gilui Mils is enough. You don't have to write anything in it. So Gemara answers, Amar Abzir lo kasha, habikula habimiksasa. No, it depends how much of her nechasim are in here. If she gives away all of her nechasim, then you don't have to write this, because you assume for sure that she's doing this not in seriousness, because why would a person give away all of the nechasim? But habimiksasa, if she gives away only part of her nechasim, so then why would she only give away parts? Maybe she's serious. So then you have to write this lashon if she only gave away part of her nechasim. Period. Here's the kasha now that everybody asked. So if it's not going to be a good sale, let's say later on she's going to decide to be Mavatel and Mafreya, like most Rishonim say. So then it wasn't the daughter, so why shouldn't it go to the husband? So how did it prevent anything? If already gave the Shtar Mavrachas, if it's not good, so how does it prevent the person you're trying to prevent it to going to from going to him? So if it's not serious. So rip up the Shtar, so it's not a good Shtar, so the husband was going it. So Amar Abaya Asu'um Kinachasim She'in Yaduim Labal Via Liba de Reb Shimon. No, we treat it like yesterday's Mishnah. We had a sheet in yesterday's Mishnah, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon said that a woman is allowed to sell Nechasim that the husband does not know about. That either means metaltalin or literally Nechasim that he does not know about. Why? So we explained, because the husband doesn't have in mind those Nechasim. It's totally out of his mind. So if he doesn't know about them, he doesn't have them in mind, so those are in the rights of the woman to sell. So too here. Even though the husband, Me'ikar Adin, you're right, the shtar is thrown out, it should go to him, but he sees that shtar, and he thinks that the nechasim are not going to him. He thinks that the nechasim, he doesn't have smichas das, he thinks it's going to the daughter. So even though it's a fake, even though halakhically it's not valid, but it's totally on his das. And if his das, he doesn't think he's going to get them, so then that's why it works. So it's all a rouge. It's all a ruse. And still, that's why it works. Even though halakhically the shtar is null and void, because it's a shtar mavrachas, it's enough to get it out of the possession of the husband. Yeah?
How does that work? It's a shtar matana, but yet he says, whenever I want, I can get it.
What exactly is it? We'll talk about it more in a minute, what exactly it is, but it is a shtar that has validity as long as I, you know, say it has validity. It's similar to a tznai, but that's what you wrote in the shtar, that you have that power to write that in the shtar. The Ramban, though, asks, maybe this is what you're about to ask, what was Reb Shimon yesterday? Reb Shimon said, because he doesn't know about it, you have rights to sell it. She has rights to sell it. Let's say she didn't sell it. Let's say the woman never gets around to sell it, but the husband didn't know about it at the time of the marriage. Does he yarshin those nechasim? Of course he does. Reb Shimon is only about whether she has rights to sell it or not. What does that have to do with our case? Our case is talking about whether the husband gets it, and she didn't. She didn't do anything else. So what? How can the Gemara compare? You make it like nechasim, she didn't do a mabal. That's the Ramban's kasha to Mili. Reb Shimon was about whether she has power to sell it. But let's say she didn't sell it. Then the husband yarshins it. So he says, no, v'lov kushihi. No, they're not a kasha. Because if she is quiet, she did sell it, quote unquote. If she doesn't complain about it, it's going to go to the daughter. It's going to go to the daughter. It's going to go to the other buyer. So therefore, this is still can be compared to that case. She did sell it, in quotes, and if she doesn't say a word, it's going to go to that new person. Period. Okay, just before the next mission, just to mention, there is a machlokas. Could the daughter eat peros in the interim? Could the daughter eat stuff from these nechasim? That's the machlokas we showed him here. Rashi says no. Rashi here says she does not. And the Rosh and the Torah both assume yes. Whether the daughter in the interim, can she eat from these fields? Okay, period. Next Mishnah.
How about the receiver? Can he eat peros while...
Which receiver? The husband?
The receiver.
That's what we're talking about. That's a machlokas. Whether the potential receiver can eat. So Rashi says no, and the other Rishonim say yes. And the Yavni Miluim, if you want to look it up, in Simin Tzadik, talks about that machlokas. Says the Mishnah, Naflu la ksafim. So now, as we know, there's something called Nechse Maluk. Nechse Maluk are properties that the woman gets, that the principal stays to her, and the peros, the husband gets to pluck off and eat from the, not the interest, but the peros of the fruit of the property. So for the rest of the blot today, we're going to talk about that concept. Keren and peros. Nafluk Safim, let's say she gets money. She gets money, she yarshins $1 million. So if the husband uses that, so then it's just going to be used up. So you want to create a case where there is principal and there is peros. So whatever she gets money, yukach ben karka bo'ocha peros. So you buy karka. You buy karka with that money, and then he can eat the peros from that karka. Peros atlushim in a karka. Same thing. If she yarshins detached fruit from the ground, she yarshins a box of grapes, a box of fruit. Again, if he eats those grapes, there's nothing to be left of the principal. So yukach ben karka bo'ocha peros. Again, you buy land with those fruit, and he eats fruit. What about this case? Peros amechubar lekarka. What about fruit that are still attached to the ground? So they grew beforehand, but now they are still mechubar. Machlokes. Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says these fruits belong to the woman. These fruits have to become principal, even though they're still attached to the ground. So shamar osa kami yafa beperos kami yafa bolo peros. You figure out how much the fruit are worth, how much is the land worth with or without the fruit. Umosar, and that difference, yukal ben kaka bolo peros. The amount of the fruit that's mechubar still belongs to her, that has to be principal. Therefore we figure how much that is, and we buy land, and that will be kavua for the woman. The chachamim omrim, and now just to add on, the chachamim say, ha mechubarin lakarka shalo. Chachamim say no. If it's mechubar lakarka, it belongs to him. Belongs to him, meaning he can just pluck them. That's not Karen, that's called Peros. So what? They're going to be destroyed. They're going to be disappear. But that's Peros. V'atlushim in akarka, but only if it's detached from the ground, like we said earlier, Shalah. That is already considered hers, and it's going to be principal. V'yilkam in akarka v'ocha Peros. Only if that is detached. The Rush here just has the Ha'ara. The Mishnah is not machalik between fruit that are about to be picked or not. Usually we have a principle of kol ha'omid ligzos kegazas dami, kol ha'omid likatzer kekatzer dami, if it's about to be picked. But says the Rush, not here. Here, even if it's about to be picked, it's called mechubar, it's not called picked already, and therefore you would have this machlokas. And the Sha'ar Masechta Halacha here, just Meir, that in every area of halacha, you know, you have to look whether something that's about to be picked has the status of picked already or not. For example, Kabbalah's Tumah, are they Makabal Tumah yet? Meaning if fruit that are about to be picked, yes, they're considered detached already. Meaning if liquid goes on it, they're considered detached. What about Hilcha Shabbos? Hilcha Shabbos, if I pick a fruit that's already ripe, that's about to... I'm chayev kintaraisa for kotzer. Even though called the omid litzer kakasar dami, it's considered attached. So for every halacha, one has to check whether we say kala omid or we don't say kala omid. Okay, so we had a machlokes in the Mishnah whether peros mechubarim should be principal and we should buy land with it or not. Reb Shimon Omer, Reb Shimon adds on, and the Gemara will discuss what the difference is between Reb Shimon and the other opinions. Makom sheyof hakocha b'knisasa, a place where the husband has power going into a marriage. Ho rakocha b'siyasa, he has weakened power going out of the marriage when he gets divorced. Makom shehor rakocha b'knisasa, where he has weakened power going in. Yof hakocha b'siyasa, his power is great going out. Kesa, so what's Reb Shimon talking about? As follows. Peros hamechubar on lakarka, fruit that are attached to the ground. B'knisasa shalo, they belong to him going in, like the Chachamim's opinion. Right, they belong to him, they're considered peros. You don't have to buy land with it. U'b'siyasa shalo, but going out, if they're mechubar, we don't say they grew already so he could take it before he divorces her. No, they go to her. V'atlushim in akarka, but if they're detached already, b'knisasa shalo, when they come in, it goes to her, meaning you if they're detached already, you buy land. U'b'siyasa shalo, and when going out, they belong to him. Once he cut them, then he gets to keep them before he divorces her. Ask Rabbi Chanan, what does this say? This Mishnah says that even if, let's say, mechubarim, if they grew while we're married, and then, you know, then I'm ready to divorce you, so then we say that it goes to you. Ask Rabbi Chanan, how is that possible? The Kasha, we learned that peros, le'inyin peros, the yado ki yada, v'zocha b'guf hakarka. The male, we're going to learn at the beginning of the next parak, parak ha-kosev, the man is zocha in the karka legabi the peros. That's the lashon of the Gemara later on. So these peros that already grew should be his. What happens? How do they automatically switch from being his ownership? So what, you didn't pick him yet. But they're still owned by him, and all of a sudden he wants a divorce, so they go up to her. How does the eich nifka kinyano al yedei gerushin? Just like he says, there's the Yerushalmi. It's amazing Yerushalmi here. The Yerushalmi says, let's say the husband has these fruit, nifse milug, he declares them as bikurim. and then he divorces his wife. You know what? They become ois bikurim. They're not bikurim anymore. He says, how does that work? They're his regarding they're his, and then they're not his. And then he says, if they're not his, so you should say they're not even his to declare bikurim in the first place. So he says, you have to say, v'shema svirale de kinyano mitchila hu rak lizman. It must be throughout the marriage, even if they're married for 45 years. All nechse melug are a kinyan lizman. Potentially, they're always, you always see that it's a limited kinyan. It's not a kinyan which all of a sudden one day, oh, it stops. It's inherently a kinyan lizman, but that itself is a full kinyan. But it is a temporary, even though it can be 40 years, a temporary kinyan. You have to say that. Because you have to come up with a mitzius that he has power right now. It's his, and he can even declare it bikurim. Yet, it can be paka. And right when he decides to divorce his wife, that he will automatically lose the ownership. Would he ever have such a thing? You have a case to sign where it's fully yours, but then automatically you lose it a certain time later. Would he ever have such a thing? So he doesn't quote it, but I thought maybe you could say it's the Ksos. The Ksos is Shita about Matana Amanas Lahachzir. There was a big discussion in the Rishonim in the beginning of Maseches Kedushin, and also Maseches Sukkah. What if I give you an esrog, matana amanas lahachzir? A matana on condition you can give it back to me in a week. Is that lachem? Is that good enough to be lachem? If I give you a matana amanas lahachzir. Right? So is that, it's yours right now, but you can give it back. So many different opinions that are shown him. How do you look at matana amanas lahachzir? Is it even limited right now that I have it? So this is the Ksos. You can look it up in Reish Mem Aleph, Sif Kat and Gimel, where the Ksos starts quoting the Rush. Where the Rush discusses this. The Rush says by esrog, you have to give an esrog to somebody, b'matana gemura amanas sheyachzir. You can't give a matana manas lahachzir by, you know what you have to do? You have to give a matana and say, you know what? Could you please give it back to me when you're finished with it? But it's the guy's choice to give it back. If you don't say that, if you just say it's yours and automatically it's going to be mine afterwards, says the Rosh is not going to work. That's the Rosh Hashita and other Rishonim. Matana manas lahachzir is not good enough because the fact that it's manas lahachzir makes it weak right now. That is the Shita of a number of Rishonim, and the Rosh says, I beg to differ. The Rosh says, no! I think a matana manas lahachzir, it is possible to have a full kinyan lizman. That's the Rosh Hashita. But lulei divrei Rosh Haritva yiril ani is daiti to matana manas lahachzir hukamashmo ve'ein bo tznai hakna elo shenasa lo matana ad sheyatzebo v'hu matana gemura v'chaluta ad hazman. And he quotes all the Rishonim disagree, and then he says, finally, I've looked all my life, and he says, Baruch Hashem, I found somebody who says what I say. He says, Matsasi li rav bazeh, achar chipus, matsasi kadmon. Where? In the Tshuvas HaRosh. The Tshuvas HaRosh quotes Rabbeinu Avigdor, who says exactly what he says. The Tshuvas HaRosh is Klal Lamed Hey, and he quotes his mamish, what the Kso says, that it's a kinyan, full kinyan, lizman, temporarily. And at the end he says, V'ayin sham v'yalos libi, shekivanti ladaz rav kadmon. My heart was besimcha that I was mechuvin to his shita, but that is an example. The Ksosa shita is an example where it's a full kinyan, lizman. Right? Even though it's only for a temporary amount of time, but it's a permanent kinyan for that amount of time. So that's what Rabbi Chanan is saying here. How could the payers belong to the husband? And automatically, they're gonna leave. It's a kinyan lizman. And therefore, he can even make it bikurim while he has it, even though once he gives it away and it's still detached, it loses its shame bikurim. Period. Okay.
What if the recipient destroys it?
If the recipient destroys it.
It's fully his at that time.
It's fully his, so that may have to give back money. Is he a ganav? See, if he destroys it, you have to look at the Ksos. I didn't read over the rest of the Ksos, I don't remember it. It's been a while. But if he destroys it, I don't know if that would ruin, even if you want to say it ruins it, but at the time that he has it, it's still a full Kenyan. She'ela, if somebody borrows something, according to some Rishonim, that's also a Kenyan Lizman.
That kicks in.
Right, She'ela Kenyan Lizman, and let's say you destroy, if he Sheol destroys it. Doesn't Oker Elam Afreya. So a she'el also, it might be a kinyan. Some Rishonim say that's a kinyan lizman. Okay. So you have to look at, make a list of all the kinyan lizmans. This goes on that list. This is Rabbi Chanan. Gemara, pshita. So we said you have to buy principle. You have to buy principle with something that you want to keep the keren for the wife. So what do you buy? So ara ubate ara. If the choice is, if there's a machlokas between the husband and the wife, one wants to buy land, one wants to buy a house. Right? And Rashi explains why a land is better, because it's always there, a house is better, you don't have to work it so much, plowing and seeding. Ara, land wins. Bati vidikli, that's considered more permanent. Bati vidikli, bati. Houses or trees, houses. Dikli vilani, dikli. Palm trees or other types of trees, palm trees. Because there you always have the palms. Ilani vagufne, ilani. Trees and vines, trees, that's more secure. Iba zard, period. Iba zardeso apir de kavri. What if you give a forest for chopping down wood, or a pond of fish? So, and that's what she brings into the marriage. So, can the husband just take fish? Those fish will never be there anymore, right? So, is that considered destroying the keren? Or chopping down the trees? Or do we say, no, there's always going to be a pond there. There's always going to be a forest. They're not going to get all the trees. So what is that called? Peros or Karen? Machlokas. Amila, Perib, Amila, Karna. Machlokas, whether that is, what that is. Because you are taking things, but things are going to remain. Klal Demilsa, what's the rule? Gizo Machlif Pera, and Gizo Machlif Karna. If the root, if the stem will regenerate itself, so then it's considered Peros, like a tree. And if it's not going to regenerate itself, it'll be totally destroyed, then it's called Karen. Period. Amr Abzeir, Amr Boshi, Amr Abyana. If Yamrila Amr Abba, Amr Boshi, Amr Abyana. Machlokas, who said it? Who said it at the beginning? As we mentioned in the past, there's, I forgot who we said this b'shem, that call Omer Dabar b'shem Amr, maybe Gula La'olam. You say it in the name of who said it. So do you have to say just the source of that, or the whole chain of people? I heard it from my Rebbe, you heard it from his Rebbe, you heard it from them, who heard it? Right, you have to say the whole chain or not. So these types of lines seem to say that you have to say the whole chain. Because what's the difference? So there's a Gemara feels the need to say it in two ways. Hagonev Vlad Behemas Malug. Let's say there's a Nichse Malug. There's an animal of Nichse Malug that the woman brought into the marriage. And that animal has a baby. And a Ganav steals that animal. So who does he pay to? Who does he pay to? Meaning, is that animal considered Karen? Is the baby of an animal Nichse Malug? Again, this animal was brought into the marriage by the woman. And the husband, let's say, gets the milk of the animal and the shearings of the animal. That's all Peros. But what about a baby of the animal? Is that called Peros or is that called Karen? Well, my nafkamina, who does the Ganav pay to? Who does the Ganav pay to? So says the Brisa, pays to, says this statement, you pay to the woman. Pay to the woman, because this is called Karen. Come on, look Rabbanah, look Hananya. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? That's against everybody. Titania, because we have a Brisa that says, Vlad Hemas Malug Labal. The baby of an animal of Malug goes to the husband. Vlad Shivchas Malug Leisha. The Vlad of a Shivcha of Malug goes to the woman. Chananya, Ben Afi Yoshia Omar, Asu Vlad Shivchas Malug, Vlad Hemas Malug. No, everything goes to the husband. So this statement goes like nobody, because what did the statement say? The vlad of a behema goes to the woman, but everybody agrees the vlad of a behema goes to the husband. Everybody says that that's called peros. So Gemara says, no, afilu tema divrei akol. Still, it goes like everybody. Peira takini le rabbanan, peira de peira lo takini le rabbanan. The husband gets fruits. That was the takana de rabbanan of nichse malug, that he should eat peros, right? Peros, but only peros and not peira de peros. If it's a step removed, he does not get it. So what are we talking about here? Here we're talking about the kefel. We're not talking about the fruit themselves, the animal. You're right, the animal itself belongs to the husband. But now we're talking about something that comes from the animal at one step removed, the kefel, the double payment that's going to be paid by the ganef. So that goes to the woman, because that's peira de peira. Tosfos here says, Tosfos and Dibur Maskel Peira, two important points. Number one, we're going to learn at the beginning of the next Perek, even Peira de Peira go to the husband. Let's say the husband takes a fruit of the tree and then plants it and builds another tree. Another tree, another tree. So everything goes to the husband. So here it doesn't really mean Peira de Peira. It means Peira de Peira that comes from an outside source. Peira de Peira, even if it's a second and a third step, if it comes directly, naturally from the fruit, from the tree, and you're replanted and replanted, fine, that goes to the husband. But if it's payer, like kefel has nothing to do with the fruit. Kefel comes from an external force. That's what's not in the takana that's going to the husband, and that's what goes to the wife. Number one. Interesting. Just one other point. Tosfos says that in the middle of Tosfos, Pathakan Rashab Dashlami Kefel Isha Hainu Kefel Lechude of a Karen Labal. The Karen is going to go to the husband, as we just said. Only the kefel is going to go to the Isha. The Karen is going to go to the Baal. You know, what difference does it make? If you're mode b'knas, who's the real baldover here? Mode b'knas is pater, only if you do it in front of the baldover. So who does the ganav have to be mode in front of in order to be pater? That's the, so who's the real part? Will the real address stand up? Is it the woman? Is it the husband? So he has that nafkamina. He quotes this Tosfos, and he says, l'may nafkamina, mode b'knas. Okay. Says the Gemara, Bishlama l'chananya haynu l'chashin l'misa. According to Chananya, who holds that all babies of animals and of shvachos, go to the husband, I understand what his opinion is. It's consistent. He's not worried that anybody's going to die. And therefore what? The mother, shivcha or animal, will always remain Karen to the wife, and that's why all the babies could go to the husband. It's all called Peiros. He's not chashin l'misa. El Rabbanan, but according to the Rabbanan, what's the chilek? The Rabbanan say one goes to the wife and one goes to the husband. If they're worried about Misa, I feel Vlad behemoth mulug na'amilo. If they're worried about death, so then even the Vlad of the animal should go to the woman. Not to the husband, because you're worried that the principal's gonna leave. V'lo chashi l'misa. And if he's not worried, I feel a vlad shivas b'lo gnami. And if he's not worried, then everything should go to the husband. So how can you have this chiluk between animals and women? So l'olam chashi l'misa. Really, he is choshish l'misha, and therefore everything really should go to the woman, because you're worried that the karen is gonna be, not there. V'shani behema di'ika ora. But animal's different. Why? Because even if the animal dies, there's still gonna be something there. There's still gonna be karen there. The skin of the animal, the hide of the animal. Therefore, even if the animal dies, the woman will not lose the whole keren. Period. Tosfos says, so why can't the man shecht it? Tosfos just doesn't answer that question. Little Tosfos, why can't the man shecht it? And then the keren will be to the woman. Nobody says he could do that. Tosfos does not answer it. Okay, the Shita Megubetzes deals with it. Good. Amar Afuna Barchia, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kachananya, Halacha Kachananya. That everything goes to the husband. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Avagav to Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kachananya. Even though Shmuel said that, Moda Chananya, even Chananya admits that everything, the babies go to the husband because they're called peros, but that he admits, she'im nisgarsha, no sin is dame, but no tlasan. That, let's say if they get divorced, she has the buyback option. Even though they belong to the husband is forced to sell it back. Why? Because and the Rishonim say something about at least the vlados of the shifcha, these family of shvachos were in her father's house for years, and therefore we say that there's always a buyback option for the woman. Amar Rava, there was something to say about that, but first let's get into the Mishnah. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Echlisa Ezvel Chalba, Baruch Aligizasa. Let's say she brings in a goat for milk, or a Rachel for shearing. Svetana Golos Lebeitasa, or a chicken for eggs. Videkel Peirosav, and a tree for its fruit. Ochavala Chajidich Lakaren. In all these cases, the man is allowed to partake of all the fruit and all the milk. Ajidich Lakaren, even though there's only the Karen will remain. Machlokas Rashi riff what this case is talking about. Rashi says it's a case where the woman owns everything. And Asha Tichla Akeren doesn't mean literal until even the Karen is destroyed. It just means until all the payers are destroyed. The Rif and the other Rishonim say, but that's not what the words say. Asha Tichla Akeren. So they say, no, the Rif says, and other Rishonim hold like the Rif, the case here is a case where the woman only owns the payers of these things. And she brings it into the marriage. And that's the Chiddush, that even so, the husband is allowed to partake of all the eggs and the milk, etc. Machlokas Rashi Rif, what exactly is the case here? Whether the woman owns the goof also. Period. Amar Rav Nachman, either like Lima Pei Rahavi, if she brings in clothing, the husband's allowed to wear the begadim. It's called Peiros. Maxi Beva Azla Dekalia, and he's allowed to wear it until they get worn out. Kemanki Aitana, it's like the following Tana, Detanya. The following Tana says, as long as there's something left, it's called Karen, and the husband is allowed to use them. Hamelech Vahachol, let's say she brings it to the marriage, she has Dead Sea property, and she has areas where the salt accumulates. You know, so is the husband allowed to use the salt because the place where the accumulation takes place is there? Or let's say he has just a sand dune. There's always going to be sand. Or he's a payrus, the husband is allowed to partake of the salt and the sand because there's always going to be there. Pier shall gafres makporis shall tzrif. Or let's say he gets a sulfur pit or some type of an aluminum makporis shall, an aluminum cave. It's a place you get raw materials from. So if you take the raw materials, so the cave is still going to be there. So again, is that Peiros or Karen? Machlokas. Ramei Omer Karen or Chum Omer Peiros. Period. Let's just finish up first. Reb Shimon Omer, Malkam Shiyafa Kochos. Reb Shimon in the Mishnah said that where he has power by Knisa, by marriage, he loses power by Gerishin and vice versa. Reb Shimon Hanatana Kama. They both say, what's the difference? They both agree going in. So Amarava, Mukhubarim Shasisi Igibinayu. The Machlokas is going out. Machlokas is when they are fruit that are mechubar going out, so there Reb Shimon says it belongs to her, and the Tanakama would say it belongs to him. Period. Okay, we still have 3 minutes. Naflula, says the Mishnah. Naflula avadim u'shvachos zakenim. Let's say she brings in very old avadim into the marriage. They're able to be sold. They're able to be sold because they're not useful right now, so you can sell them. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer Lo Timkar, no. Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, not allowed to sell them, because this is like her heritage. And if this is like her heritage, her legacy, so therefore, she has rights to say, I know they're old, but so what? This is my family heirlooms, and therefore no selling. Nothala, same thing. Nothala, Zayzim Gafanim Zakenim, if she brings in old vines and olives, again, the husband could say, let's sell them, because it's worthless to me now. No, not allowed to sell them, because this is the heritage of the father. The machlokas is only where she brings these items in, these old items in, on her own field. That's where there's a machlokas. But if it's not her field, everybody agrees that she could sell. She sells to Kalia Karna. Everybody agrees. If the whole thing, they're old, these vines, they're going to die anyway. So what do you mean, Shevach Beisavia? So if it's not on your field, then the whole thing is going to be destroyed. So everybody agrees, even that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel agrees that it could be sold. Maskav or Rav Yosef, Hari Avadim Ushvachas, what do you mean? The Shvachas case, the Chisada Sheina Shalah Dami, Upligi, that's similar to a case of Sada Sheina Shalah, because when they die, nothing's going to be left. And you see there's a machlokas about that. Sele Yidma Hachi Yidma, the other way. Amar Rav Kana Amar Rav, machlokas for the Sheina Shalah. The machlokas is about a field that's not hers. But if it's on her field, but if it's on her field, every degree she cannot sell. She cannot be forced to sell it because of Shevach Beisavia. It's her family heritage, and she gets to keep it. So where does this come up? So we said it can't be sold, but we said earlier, if you remember, like the case of the husband. If the husband, even if he has rights to certain things, sometimes we'll say, but you have to sell it back. The post can talk about this Gemara came up after World War II. After World War II, some cases came up. Let's say somebody walks into your house and looks at your bookshelf and say, hey, that's my shas. See, what are you talking about? I bought it in the Sfarim store. He says, no, that's my shas. Because what happened? During wartime, a lot of the Jewish libraries were taken away and they were sold or whatever. And you go into a Sfarim store, you buy the old Sfarim. So, I don't want to sell it. I bought this. Do you have to sell it? Let's say it has my name in it. It has my name in it. So they talk about, is that an example of Shevach Beisavia? Is that an example? This is my family heritage. These are my Sfarim. Or do you say that B'shas Mocham, everybody's Misyayish? Tosis and Baba Kama talks about that. Maybe this is automatic Yayush. Or to say, no, even if there's automatic age, if it's my Shevach Beisavia, I want it back. So they talk about this Gemara there too. The post can discuss, the toast at the end of Maseches Baba Kama, and other posts can talk about whether there's rights for people to get things back that belongs to their family when it was taken away against their will. Okay, we'll stop here. And since she was sponsored again by the Spilzinger family, Dechlem Nishmas, Brian Lobas Moshe Zef.